Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask you limited to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. If you are calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like doing your prayer requests over the air or questions or even asking for information about getting a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And I will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, well, for all that's listening to me, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this day we seek your wisdom and your spiritual understanding for our lives. And dear Lord, we ask that you would help us to never forget the understanding, Lord, that you impart unto us. Help us not to forsake the understanding you give us, because, Lord, we know that it will preserve us, dear God. Father, we hear today to declare our love, the understanding that your word imparts to us, and that we know that it will keep us. So we thank you for giving us spiritual wisdom and understanding in your word, through your spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. I want to open up with an opening scripture from God's book that is called The Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's been sending through his angel messenger. Message 54. 54th time been sending his angel on March the 9th, 1942. Now you are given a date that you can go before the Lord in prayer and ask him about. Amen. And I want to read one of these verses out of this message. And the word of God says, this work should continue on, for love is the message I bring. The church of Christ shall never again be destroyed. The evil shall not prevail against her, for she shall be adorned with a crown of 12 bright stars and garments of righteousness. Amen. Now, one of the things we want to understand from what the Lord in the message he sent through his angel messenger, he said that the church of Christ should never again be destroyed. Now, when the Lord makes such a statement like that, one thing he's telling us that at one time, the church of Christ was destroyed. Amen. The earthly organization on this earth was overthrown and was destroyed. Now, as I said this the past few times before, I know that to some of you as Christians who are listening, you can't fathom that in your mind. And some of you as Christians may find that appalling. What you fail to understand is that it is not saying that the power of Jesus Christ was too weak to keep his people. What it's saying that something else had to happen in order for this thing to come to pass. And well, we had been looking in one series before, and one of the things we understand that contribute to is that the walk or the lifestyle of the Christians, of the people, of many in the church, turn away from the walk that Christ had set up for them to walk in. In fact, the Bible tells us that now we say we are to walk in the newness of life. Well, the many in the early church, because this is where this thing began, departed from walking in the way of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we have been on this new series, and this is tonight, the Fallen Away Church Teachings, the First Century Part 2. Because in part one kick off the series where that the next thing we see that contribute to the overthrow of the Church of Christ, and I'm talking about after Christ had established it, another thing that contributed to the overthrow was evil teachings, okay? the church got away from the true teachers of Christ. Okay. Now, in part one, we opened up with and discussed with you guys that when Jesus said that in Matthew 15, how that there were those who transgressed the commandments of God with their traditions. And he said that in vain they worship him, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So we did that as a jump start and want you to understand that also the teachings of Christ, the people begin to wane off the true teaching. They begin to teach the commandments of men, at the same time making a claim to worship Jesus Christ. They had traditions that they held to that caused them to transgress the commandment of God. Now, we are in part two today, and I've been wondering from the Lord, from some scriptures that I have here that I want to go over, kind of like which way I want to go in this part, okay, the series. So what I'm going to do is just come straight at it, because it's one of two things, especially in this teaching, that I want to discuss with you guys. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Lord, I ask that your spirit will lead me into giving this lesson today. It is very important for your people to know what happened as things begin to start breaking down in the early church and how it affected us today and the way things are looking today. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 to verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to verse 3. Glory be to God. And here's what the word of God says. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, when we look at verse 1, one of the first things we want to do is define heresies, because he said that these false teachers privately or secretly, like, brought in what he called damnable heresies. So what is a heresy? Well, we want to define it and come from two sources. And many of y'all know the two sources that I many times go by. Not that it is over the Holy Ghost. Okay. We need the Holy Ghost in our study, people. So when you hear me saying turn the dictionary, Bible concordance, don't mean I'm neglecting the Holy Ghost, because sometimes certain things you are given through them may not be right. The word heresy in the original Greek, the original Greek word for there is heresy, heresis, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, and it means a choice that is specifically a party or disunion, a party or disunion. Now, when we go to Webster to get another view of what also can include it to be called heresy, I want to give you the definition, or one of the definitions that Webster gave that really stuck out. And this was it. Number one, a dissent or deviation from a dominant theory, opinion, or practice. An opinion, doctrine, or practice contrary to the truth or to generally accepted beliefs or standards. So if we combine from the two sources, we come to understand that a heresy can be an opinion, it can be a doctrine, which is a teaching, it can be a contrary to the truth. Now, we know from John chapter 17, Jesus said, thy word is true. So it can be a teaching, a doctrine that is contrary to the truth, okay? And this is by choice, okay, that causes a disunion. So in other words, the disunion is that it don't bring the body of Christ together. It's actually a doctrine or teaching that brings the separation or division in the body, and also separate the people from Christ. Okay? You understand that? Hallelujah. Because people have what they call certain beliefs. And here's the thing that went on in the church, that there were those in the church. Now notice here in 2 Peter 2 and 1 that he said these false teachers privately or secretly brought in what he called damnable heresies. Okay? So what does damnable mean? So he described the type of heresies, and he said that they were damnable heresy. Well, the word damnable in the original Greek, apolia, damnable means ruin or loss physically, spiritually, or eternally. I think I'm going to read that again. The original Greek word that was there that was translated to our language to say damnable means ruin or loss physically, spiritually, or eternally. Okay? Amen. The word damnable, according to Webster, means, I want to give you a definition for that, liable to or deserving condemnation. And you know, a condemnation is just sentenced to doom, to destruction. So overall, this damnable heresies were teachings or doctrines that can cause you to be destroyed, not just physically, that's involved, but to the great extent, spiritually and eternally, okay? So this just ain't no any kind of teachings, okay? Well, you say, well, how do you know it ain't just no any kind of teaching? Well, let's look at verse 1 again. He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Now listen to the next words he said. Even denying the Lord that bought them. Now remember, Christ is the Redeemer, and in the plan of redemption, we were bought with a price. So these teachings even deny Christ, what he did and what he's supposed to be to man. In other words, this is why you got to be careful, people, because we got some Christian today that's listening to the world, and the world says, your act of loving people is accepting whatever their beliefs is, okay, whatever they teach. So if they teach that the blood of Jesus wasn't worth nothing, our true act of love would be accept that for the peace sake. No, that's not the true act of love. That's not the love of God. And so in the church, as we read in this verse, there were false teachers who was teaching doctrines that were causing people to end up to be lost spiritually and eternally. So this was some serious business, people. Amen. Hallelujah. And see, you got to understand something. This is still going on today with a lot of teaching that can cause people to be lost, not just physically or be ruined physically, but spiritually and eternally. Okay? Amen. Because what is the number one thing is doing? Denying Jesus. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. I remember some years ago, back in 1989, I think I hadn't too long graduated out of high school. That's the year I graduated, but I think it was right after I graduated with high school. Well, I was working with these group of men on roofing. And the man that was over the roofing was a Jehovah's Witness, and his workers was like Jehovah's Witness too, you know, beside me and my older brother worked with him at the time. But the older man, you know, and in his, well, you want to call it his right-hand man, they were Jehovah's Witness. And I remember one night I was riding back with his right-hand man, and I wasn't even saved at that time. But he just went to talking, and then he started talking about Jesus can't do nothing for me and all that. Now, do I supposed to accept that, quote, they call an act of love? No, I didn't say you go up there and cuss the man out, go off on, but here's what some Christians today got it mixed up. They let the world, quote, teach them and tell them that love is accepting anything. That's love. You know, if God called abomination, your act of love is accepting. Accept people who they are. Okay? That's your act of love. Well, no. Accept what they believe. No. Everybody got their free will to believe what they want to believe. But I don't have to be a partaker of it. And see, if you're saying or teaching that Christ's blood was a nothing, his resurrection was nothing, all of that wasn't needed and all that, then guess what? Brother Nate is not going to agree with you, period. Okay? See, these false teachers here in 2 Peter 2, amen, they were teaching something very serious, very seriously wrong, where it got you to a point that they was even denying Christ who bought or redeemed them. Amen. Denying Jesus. Because, and understand these teachings, there was influence of Satan around somewhere. Don't get me wrong. Because one of the things that Satan wants you to do to the utmost is deny Christ. He hates Jesus. And he gets a kick out of anyone who should be Christ, belonging to Christ, denying him. So these teachings went out in the church where that people had accepted it and started denying the Lord that bought them. See, people, listen, yes, the Lord has appointed the ministry to teach you, but he did not say that only behind the pulpit is where you would get your teaching. This is why your study has to be balanced. You have to not just come to Sunday school on time and get teaching, but you need a study at home, okay? And even what you're studying Sunday school, you need to write the scriptures down and go back and look it over yourself. I've seen many people in Sunday school services whose attention just went out the door while the Sunday school teachers up there teaching their heart out. Whole hour and a half, and I've seen plenty of people in the Sunday school lesson. You can look at them like they're looking all over the place, like they're trying to check the ceiling out, like they had this kind of attitude, like I could be somewhere else other than here. Amen. And what they fail to understand is that they are open targets for the enemy to use whoever he's going to use to lead them astray, because many people. When they're so, and many times you can tell, not trying to quote, as they say, judging, but you can tell someone who's a tenor and who's going to really search out something you say versus many times those that ain't. And the many of them that won't, you know, the devil, along with men that he's using, can smell out somebody, as they say, who is not going to search the scriptures. Someone who just, you know, listen to you saying words. Now, we're supposed to listen, but here's the thing what I'm trying to get to. they know that some of these people that just going to listen and they can sense that they don't study, they know these people ain't going to show, going to go look it up. So therefore, they're able to throw in extra words or some kind of teaching to veer people away from Christ. You know, I've come across people where they was told some stuff and they knew something was wrong. And then let's say they asked me, and let's say I told them, well, you know, that is not right. That's wrong. They'll go, well, okay, but that's as far as it go. It really saddens me to see people who have people that, let me put it more specifically, Christians who act like they have no concern about the word of God. And when Gloria says, study to show thyself approved, as if he just wasn't talking to them. Amen. And they get mad over certain people who they find out use them. Well, they told me this and that and this and that. Well, if you would study the scripture, you would find out that what they were saying was contradictory to the scripture. Okay? But see, because they knew how to put a good, feel-good message. This is what we got going on in many of the churches today among those who claim to be Christians. We're getting feel-good preaching and teaching messages, okay, the feel-good messages. And overall, now in the body, or among those that claim to be in the body, you got these heresies or these doctrines up among what? The believers. And for the most part, many times coming from those who supposed to have been believers in the church. And so they coming up with these doctrine and teachings that is so dangerous that it can cause you to be condemned or sentenced to destruction. Okay? Because remember, as we read here in 2 Peter 2 and 1, that these teachers were teaching the people to a point where that it was leading them to deny Christ being the Redeemer and Christ having redeemed them. Okay? And see, you know, Satan would love to get in some juicy stuff like that. He would love to get in the thing where that he can get people to deny Christ. He would love to do that. Amen. And that's what's happening. So one thing you want to rest assured to look out for, if anybody's teaching you something that's denying Jesus, denying his deity, his lordship, denying what he have done for mankind, and deny that he is the way, that he's the only way, then my advice to you is you better leave it alone. Now, to those of you that are Christian, now, if you are a non-Christian listening, here's what I'm telling you, and you might want to call me narrow-minded, still love you anyhow. Christ is the way. He's not one of the ways. He is the way, okay? You want the way to eternal peace? It's him. All these other religions with all these other false gods are liars, and they cannot give you that eternal peace that Christ gives. They can never give that. This is why they pass doctrines that are full of lies. Some of them telling you that you may die as a man now, come back as a donkey in the next life. All kind of stuff like that. Okay? Just ridiculous. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But see, in the early church, these heresies started coming up. And as we read here in 2 Peter 2 and 1, these heresies privately brought in, okay, secretly brought in, okay? You know, some people, to come among the people in the church to get a church divided, especially against Christ, many times, you see, like the devil, very sneaky, they are very sneaky, and they will sneak in with these off-the-wall teachings. And before you know it, Sister Joe and Brother Little Man and all of them is talking some stuff, and you're like, where y'all getting that from? And next thing you know, the church is split up You know? Amen. Amen. Just like you got that entertainer, what is her name? Ariana Grande, who wants to say Jesus is a woman. Now, I guarantee you, before the smoke clears, some of the people, even those who claim to believe in God, is going to start grabbing hold of that. Because it's just amazing to me how the church or those who are supposed to be of Christ grab hold of stuff that the world comes out with. The world can say some off-the-wall crazy stuff that don't even require a thought, okay? But some of us as Christians go, maybe they got a point there. What point do they have? When it's denying Christ, all these other religions, Christian Science, Scientology, Buddhism, Islam, all of these religions deny Christ, okay? So why would we want to bring these kind of teachings into the church when they deny Christ? Amen? But see, this is what you got going on in the churches today, because you got people bringing these heresies, damnable heresies, that they're getting from these other religions, and they're bringing it in the church. And in the early church, that's the problem we had. We had with all these heresies coming up in the church, the heresy so bad that it was leading people to destruction. Hallelujah. And another thing we can say to this, and we're going to look at a scripture on this, that these heresies that came up in the early church, these doctrines and these teachings that was contrary to the truth, that people chose to come with, okay, and many chose to follow and accept, it was not given by the Spirit of God, but it was of the flesh. Now you say, what do you mean? How do we know this? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 18 to verse 20. Verse 20 is going to be our key verse. Now, look what it said. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Okay? He's going to name what is the works of the flesh. Not the work of the Holy Ghost. Not the work of the Spirit. Don't supposed to be the work of your regenerated spirit. It's supposed to be, these right here is the works of the flesh. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and look what else, heresies. Heresies is the work of the flesh. Amen. It's the work of the flesh. So anyone that's teaching you doctrines that is contrary to the written word, and especially that denies Christ, his lordship, the atonement, the resurrection, anything about Jesus, and they tell you that the God gave it to him, you got that right to ask him, what God is you talking about? Because God the Father didn't do that. Because the Father, the Spirit, and the Son are one. And we see here in Galatians 5, we're told that this is the works of the flesh, not the work of the Holy Ghost, but the works of the flesh. And see, that is another thing that is hurting some of God's people and not studying the word. They're listening to people do stuff and say stuff that they're saying God gave, and they won't search it in the word. Okay? When you got, for example, a married person fooling around with someone that's not married, and they come and tell you, say, you know, the Lord just led me to him, and the Lord is putting us together. In adultery? No. But see, some people, Lord help us, and I'm talking about church folks that I've seen, accept that kind of speaking. They don't search nothing up. They just, because to them it sound logic Oh, if her husband was treating her wrong, then yeah, God is putting her with somebody that can treat her right. Not why she's still married, people. Not why she married. You know, Amen. That's adultery. And to say that the Lord is doing this thing like this, no, it's not God. It's your flesh. Because you saw somebody you like, you know, maybe her and her wife giving you trouble. Yes, still, you saw someone you like. Now you got attached to him emotionally. And now all of a sudden, here's the thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, go be with him. Now, wait a minute, you still married. So these doctrine and teaching, and I'm going to tell you, I pray to y'all heed this warning. Because some of y'all is, if not being misled wrong already, you're going to be led to doing something that's going to not only could hurt you, it's going to embarrass you. And you're going to be having this attitude and mad at the world. And you're going to do like some of the other people. You know, some people, when they find out that they were deceived by someone in the church, you know, one of the first things they do, can you take a guess? You probably guess right. They stop any kind of communion with God. And I sit there and I think to myself, and I want to say to him, say, if Pastor Joe did you wrong, or the pastor wife did you wrong, or maybe just the deacons or the elders or maybe the lay people in the church did you wrong, why in the world would you cut off your communication with God as if he the one did it? Why would you do that? See, that's a lack of non-thinking. That go for anyone. And many times people, when they found out they were deceived by someone in the church, maybe somebody they was close to, you know, somebody they were real fond of, and they find out that person was lying or doing them dirt behind their back or whatever, the same person that got done wrong, they'll quit coming to church, they'll quit studying, they quit, and they fall, and you say, you ask, okay, I understand you were hurt. I understand you were deceived. I get that. But why cut off your communication with Jesus when he wasn't the one that did it? Why take it out on him? Now, you may say, I'm not. But you are, because you cut your communication off with him. You cut it off. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So these heresies that came up in the church, these doctrines and teaching that were contrary to the word of truth, that was leading people to denying Christ, okay, was of the flesh, amen, causing the people not to be subject unto the word, amen, that tells us about how Jesus redeemed us. Yes, Jesus being the redeemer. Amen. See, that's what these teachings that was of the flesh did. It caused them not to, it caused the people not to submit or be subject unto the word of God that tells us that Jesus is the Redeemer. Now, how do we know this? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 7, Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Amen. Now look what the word of God says here. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So when he said the carnal mind, that's the mind of the flesh, the mind that entertains the flesh and all the acts of the flesh, is enmity or enemy against God. Why? For it is not subject to the law of God. See, the flesh, you remember what Paul said in Romans 7, in the last verse, 25th verse? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Why did he say that? Because the flesh, if you left it unchecked, all it would do is sin. Why? Because it operates in that type of nature. Okay? So when you got heresies or doctrines that is of the works of the flesh, if and you accepted it, it's going to cause you not to be subject to the word of God, which tells us that Christ is the Redeemer. Amen. You say amen, old me. This is why Satan has been working hard and getting the folks in the church to accept all these religions. See, if you notice concerning the Masonic organization, how they're starting to call the Masonic organization a Christian organization. They're actually trying to call it a Christian organization. Now, this same organization that received, that they accept all these religions. Well, if you really study the Lord, in the Bible alone, if you really study the Lord from the Old to the New Testament, God's way was always number one. God was not sharing no throne with no Buddha. He wasn't sharing no throne with no Hare Krishna. He was not sharing no throne with no demon God, okay? And his way and his doctrine or his teaching had to be number one, okay? He wasn't going to share his teaching with the teachings of, once again, Islam and all that, any other religions, Christian Science, Scientology. He wasn't going to do that, okay? He ain't going to do that at all. And this is what Satan has been working hard through man to get man to accept all these religions, okay? Why? Because, see, when you get in the church, people accepting all these religions, then the devil can work through men who's carrying these religions to cause confusion in the church. Have you believe in this and believe in that? And the whole while, his ultimate motive is to get you to deny Jesus. Amen. His whole ulterior motive is to get you to deny Christ. Whole thing in a nutshell. Okay? And people in the church started accepting these teachings. And when you look, and let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 2. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. And see, in his first verse said that when these false teachers brought in these damnable heresies to a point where it had the people denying the Lord that bought them, it caused a swift destruction to come upon them. Okay? And this is what's going on today, people, in the church. These different heresies, doctrines, and beliefs that's contrary to the word of God and that causes people to turn away from Christ is in the churches. Amen. And have the people to a point where they are even denying Jesus and denying Jesus as the Redeemer. Okay? Because that's what all these other religions do. They fight against Jesus. They put down his resurrection, the atonement, you name it. They put down the crucifixion, you know. You got some teaching out there that say that Jesus never was crucified on the cross. It was like it was a whole fake. Now you know and they're going to get some people to accept that. And if I had to go deeper, some people that are in the church, okay? Because seem like everybody wants to come up with this beliefs all over the place stuff, and as if God going to accept it. God just accept anything you say. So if you tell, have a teacher and say, well, you know, the Lord really didn't need to send his son, and his son really wasn't needed. And God's supposed to say, well, okay, if that's what you accept, then I got to accept it too. No.
Mm-mm.
Now, remember, we discussed that Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without wrinkle, spot, or blemish. Well, to get those wrinkle, spot, and blemish out, you got to get rid of some of these off-the-wall teachings. Amen. You got to get rid of some of the off-the-wall teaching, people. Okay? Amen. Glory to God. Now, I want you to look at possibly one more scripture as I close, and I'm going to come from another one of God's book called The Record of Nephi, and a book, the book of Alma, here in the Nephi record. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And this is the record of the people over here on this continent during the prehistoric time, how God dealt with them, his commandments, his instructions, his injunctions, even when Christ came over here, you know, the whole thing. Amen. And I want to read a scripture from here. There was a servant over here. He wasn't the only one, but one of the servants over here called Alma, and there was a man named Nehor, okay? And Alma was a servant of the Lord, spreading the word of God over here. And Nehor was not. He was against the word of God. And the Rugged of Nephi said, and it came to pass that they took him, and his name was Nehor, and they carried him upon the top of the hill Manti. And there he was caused, or rather did acknowledge between the heaven and the earth, that what he had taught to the people was contrary to the word of God. And there he suffered an ignominious death. So what he had taught the people was contrary to the word. Okay. Amen. It was contrary to the word. And the next verse said, nevertheless, this did not put an end to the spreading of priestcraft through the land, for there was many which loved the vain things of the world, and they went forth preaching false doctrines. Hmm. And thus they did for the sake of riches and honor. And I want to stop there. So there were false teachings going forward, even heretic-like teachings, because the ones that were doing this saw, hey, I can get some money off of this. Sound familiar? Sound like today and with some today, don't it? Amen. Because some of these ministers listens to what make the people hoop and holler. You ever notice that it's now in the church has become like a hoop and holler fest? Amen. I shared with you guys, I think one time before, I think it was a little while ago, I went to visit this church. The church was having a revival, and I went on the last night. In fact, the place I used to work at, there was a brother that worked there that was a minister, and I think it was the church that he pastored at. Well, I think he had talked to me, invited me to come to their revival. So I went the last night. When I went, and there was, he had a guest minister there. And this guest minister started speaking, and starting off, he was speaking plain. You know, you can go in the Bible. He started from somewhere in the Bible, reading the word plain. And when he really got to going, and the people really started getting into it, you know, and sometimes, you know, when people start getting into it, they start standing up. Well, I had remember seeing him in front of the pulpit, and he got to going. He's got to going. And the people stood up, wives up there that I last remember by the pulpit. And so that blocked my view, so I stood up. And I noticed that he went from plain words to make it sound like, oh, on the, you know, it's like he would say a word and he'd make that sound, say a word and make, well, I noticed that when he did that oh, sound, the people started getting louder. Like they was just getting, and I said, oh my goodness. I said, and he was doing it so much, you really didn't understand what he was saying. But the people were hooping and hollering. See, that's what's going on even today. And that's what happened in the early church. See, some of these ministers in leadership, they know they can get so much money if they preach or teach what the people want to hear. Or they preach and teach what gets the people all jumping up and hollering. And see, every time they're jumping up and hollering, it's not for the truth, people. Understand that. Okay? Hallelujah. Because see, what you're going to see now, you're seeing these mega churches, they're going to start breaking down. They're going to start breaking down, okay? Amen. Some of them are going to break down because some true believers among them is going to leave. Why? Because they're going to see the standard of the Lord is just kicked to the curb. They're going to get tired of these so-called teachings that's floating around in the church where they're at. They're going to get tired of that. Because why? Because they're going to have been and read the word and know that, hey, the word don't say that. They're going to get tired of that. See, right now, to a degree, some of them just been hanging on because, hey, it was my mama's church before she died, or my grandmama's church, or my uncle. He's preacher there. And see, some of them are staying tied to some of these churches, even though they know some of the stuff they're saying is bad off. They're tied to some of these churches because, you know, they, like I said, kinfolks was, and I need to be in all that. Amen. Amen. That's why some of them are tired like that. And so, with that being said, okay, all these strange kind of teachings could go on. And so, you got some of these ministers who know that if I preach a particular thing, I can make some money off of. See, among the Christian community, there are those who they're focused on cha-ching. I mean, they're focused on, if I can preach a 10-minute sermon and make $1,000 that way, they, okay. And then what they do is they get a feel, whoever they preaching for or preaching at, they try to get a feel for that person, like, where they at? Do they like cars? Do they like houses? So then they know what to really put in their sermon. Okay? People, listen. You got to have a love for the true doctrine of Christ. If you don't, you are open target. Period. You are an open target. Okay? Because all those false teachers probably come along. Only thing they had to do is get a sense of what you really like. And, now it's time to go to town. Time to go to town. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm telling you, as a warning, you better be careful. Learn to get in the Word of God for yourself. I'm not saying that no one else can teach you what God gave him, but you got to know how to search it up and go in the mouth of two or three witnesses, because you got a lot of stuff going on. You know, as I shared with you guys before, it's a lot of people popping up on YouTube's with a word from through the prophetic. And they're making people think that that's the only way God is working is through the prophetic. So now you got people who won't study the Bible. They just turn it on YouTube and seeing a particular person on there and see what the Lord said to them. So if it's a thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord. I never used Jesus to redeem man. Well, they're going to start believing it. They might at first say, you know, that sounds kind of funny. You know, I was taught in the church that Jesus redeemed man. But see, they're going to start believing some of these other religions. Amen. Glory to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for another blessed day in Christ, we thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And Father, we ask today, Lord God, that you would just bless those that were listening to the broadcast. And dear Lord, Lord, just remember them. Remember us all. And Father, I pray for those who are listening here in the United States and Canada and Spain and Ireland, and those listening in Uganda, okay, in the Netherlands. I pray for them all that as they seek the truth, that they shall find. So, Lord God, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed word today. Our next broadcast, Lord, say the same, will be Friday. Look for it Friday. Amen. Glory be to God. So once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church Christ Eliza Message. And the broadcast titled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.